All right, listeners, let's jump right into the Health Lifelines podcast. Today, we're going to be talking to Dr. Brian McKay. And this doctor has taught me more than anyone in dentistry over the last 40 plus years about what's important about relationships and a culture of a practice. I walked in to his practice after quitting my job because I was burned out and I couldn't take it anymore. So I'm excited to have you hear from him how he has dealt with the age-old problem that exists between hygienists and dentists. The dentists are looking at how to make their hygiene department profitable, and the hygienists want to be paid more because they're doing all the hard work. So let's jump right in. So welcome, Dr. McKay.
It's nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So I'm sure you're well aware of this conflict that's going on between hygienists and dentists, particularly. And so I'd like to talk about that today. And I know you have some very distinct beliefs about how you run your business, because your practice is a business. So I'd like to know what kind of action you took to make that hygiene pay profit equation work to be a win-win for the practice and for me as your hygienist and for the patient. The patient always gets left out of this, don't they?
Well, I think that's a key point, is that we forget that we work for the patient. You know, we don't work for the insurance company, and we don't work for, you don't work for me. We work together and hopefully for the benefit of our patient. And if we can't benefit our patient, what the heck are we doing here? And so it's all about aligning our belief system as to who we're going to be for our patient, rather than what we're going to do to or for our patient.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole concept of the term patient is antiquated. And the definition of a patient is someone that can do nothing to help themselves. This is really old thinking. We need to recruit our patient to be a resource in their wellness, and allow us to help them achieve their wellness goals. So they're not helpless. They're critical to be involved. I mean, people don't need cures for problems they don't think they have. And so you can take a look in somebody's mouth and see all kinds of things, and until you can get them to understand that this is their mouth that we're working with, and that we have their interest in mind, and we just want to know what they want, which is kind of the key to the whole kingdom right there. Find, you know, the four most important words that you ever ask your patients is, what do you want?
Yes, that's for sure.
And then shut up, let them answer.
So does that wants dentistry kind of encompassed the culture of your practice and what we did, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes. I mean, we dedicated ourselves to our patients, and everything we could do to help our patient achieve their goals, which, of course, we didn't know until we asked them what they wanted, it was the key to the whole, to our, you know, all the success we had over the many years, because we couldn't rely on the canard of hooking up to a insurance company or signing up for an insurance plan. Are you on my list? You know, well, for the last 27 years of my practice, I wasn't on anybody's list. And I used to say, how the heck did you find me? Because I know I wasn't on your list. Well, I went to your website, or one of my friends is a patient of yours, or I know Chris Duvall, and she said I should call you and come in. Well, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter how people get there. You still are trying to serve them, not the insurance company. And unfortunately, dentists have learned to become expert diagnosticians of your dental plan and try to fit the solution to all your problems into what's going to get covered. And so when you ask a question about what can we do to make this better, you know, the solutions are only what's covered by your insurance. And so insurance does not mesh with people's needs or wants or their health objectives. It's there to help. It's an important part to help. You don't want to deny it or poo-poo it or anything like that, but just say, I want to help you. We can figure out how to bill your insurance so they're most likely to help you with this. But at the end of the day, it's all about what you want.
That is such a powerful approach to a culture, I think.
It's so simple. I've mentored dentists. I've mentored physicians on going insurance-free, you know, whatever that is. You never really are. I mean, people are still attached to their insurance. They want to get something out of it, but they also want to be well. Or they have a reason for calling you. People don't pick up the phone and call a dental office because they want to buy a Toyota. Okay, they call the dental office because they have a perceived need. They want wellness. They want health. They want beauty. They want they don't want to lose their teeth like their parents did. Or what? There's a variety of reasons. You'll never know those reasons and say unless you ask. And the first thing is, what do you want? And then there's some follow-up questions. Why? Tell me more. And they'll tell you. Careful what you ask for, because they will tell you. And then you give it to them. And oddly enough, the answer is usually dentistry. They need dentistry to achieve those goals. So there's no shortage of opportunity to diagnose, treatment plan, present, and have patients accept care when they, in fact, ask for it on the way in.
Yes.
By answering that question, what do you want? I mean, if I we could write everything I know onto that's important onto a 3x5 card. It's none of it is. And people will say, oh, it sounds so complicated. What kind of patients do you guys get up there? And I go, well, you know, most of them are alive. but they have a perceived need. They're leaving someone else's practice because their needs aren't being met.
Yeah, I think that my favorite question, and if I didn't know the answer to that question before I went in to talk to a patient, you might as well put a 3-inch piece of duct tape over my mouth, because I had made the decision I wasn't going to make assumptions about what people wanted for themselves. I think that's a big mistake. But I loved asking patients, tell me about what you want for yourself. And then, like you said, just shut up and let them talk. And if they say, well, I don't know. Well, if you did know, what would it be?
Well, you're forgetting, you know, you used to ask a great question, because I heard you do it every day when you'd escort a patient from the reception area to your operatory. What did you ask them?
Tell me about something great in your life.
Hello. Okay. So, you know, what was the answer? My teeth? No.
Never.
It's my grandkid, you know, my son or daughter, I just got a raise in my position. I'm really excited, you know, whatever, doesn't matter, but you're connecting with people, you know. Social graces takes mere moments.
Yeah.
And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so once you start connecting on a heart basis, you know, now we're having a conversation. Now it's real. And when you say, okay, we're at a dental office, weird. So I'm going to ask you a couple of dental questions. What do you want? What's most important to you? And by the time our patients in our office had gotten to you, Chris, we'd already collected records. We'd already had to chit chat with our treatment coordinator about life in general, what's going on. Another one of my favorite sayings is the more you know about your patient, the more they think you know about dentistry. And so the, you know, dog or cat, boxers or briefs, whatever, the more we know about our patient, the more they think that we know about dentistry. And by the time they got to you, you had a little insight into some of those things. And so then you could be, you just had a whole hour to be up close and personal and ask them some follow-up questions. And it wasn't an interrogation setting. It was, I'm
No.
really curious. You said to Candace that you, who is our treatment coordinator, and you said, this or that, doesn't matter. And so tell me more about that. What do you mean? And they would oftentimes tell you lots of interesting things that we would never have guessed, let alone if we tried to be an assumption meter, which, as you know, only makes an ass out of you and me. So they'll tell you all the answers. And oddly enough, the answer to the question is almost always dentistry. They want something dental, whether it's appearance oriented, whether it's health oriented, whether it's non-mercury oriented, whatever. It didn't matter. When we were going to meet that need, it's so easy to fulfill their needs when they actually say, "Here's what I want."
Yes, and I think another important thing that I learned early on was you have to be able to hit the right motivator with people, because I know from my own experience, I had a good friend of mine that was a patient in the office, and she was concerned about her teeth because they were starting to break and cracks and fillings were falling out. And I said to her, "Oh, well, Dr. McKay can help you with that." And I made the mistake of going and talking to her about aesthetics, that we could help her teeth look better. But she wouldn't give herself permission to do it. And then you asked me that day, "What does she want?" And I go, "I'm not sure." And believe me, this was like my first couple of weeks of being in the practice there, because I learned very quickly. But what her motivator was function. She
Yes.
wanted her teeth to function better. If they looked better, that was great along the way, but she would not give herself permission to engage in what we could help her with until she got her motivator of having her teeth function better, till she had that. And then she gave herself permission to engage in a full mouth a process of making her teeth function better, and along the way, they look better too.
Well, that go back to what I've said obliquely a couple of times about, once you find out what somebody wants, it doesn't matter what it is, but the answer, because they're in your office, they came to your office for a reason, and it's for dentistry. They just don't know how to ask for that, and they're not quite sure what to do. They're not quite sure what's important. They may want health, they may want aesthetics. Usually it's all of them. But the answer is still the same thing. Okay, so yeah, we could help with that. And here's what we do. We fix these teeth and those teeth. Oh, yeah, all your teeth. And then you have what you want. You have function, you have longevity, you have aesthetics. And sometimes they'd stop me and say, "Well, it doesn't matter to me whether they look very good." And I'd say, "Well, that's okay. We can make them as unaesthetic if you like." "Well, no, I mean, really, I'd kind of like them to look good." But that's just kind of working through some of the people's preconceived notions about what cosmetics is. And oftentimes cosmetics people see as a crutch. I want to do it just because it's good looking. But if it's functional, I want that. But if we address their functional issue, they made an aesthetic choice.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of what we did was meeting people's expectations. And you don't know unless you ask.
Right.
And that was the culture of the practice. Your vision and mission statement was enriching lives
By
by
exceeding
exceeding
expectations.
expectations. And wow, what a great culture to set for your team. And then it was so much more rewarding and easily to engage our patients into that vision and mission statement and philosophy of care that came out of all of that.
Well, that's exactly right, and let's not miss, a big part of that, and that is we're here talking about your role and hygiene in relation to the overall wellness of the patient. I mean, what percentage of our patients that went through comprehensive care didn't need perinatal therapy to start their journey and to make sure that they were in excellent health before we even started their restoration process? Almost all of them. Very unique to not have someone need therapy, which is what we call scaling and root planing. And without getting into it, scaling and root planing is an ancient procedure that was done in advance of periodontal abatement surgery.
Yes.
And what periodontist has periodontal abatement surgery anymore?
I don't know.
None. Almost none, I should say. I mean, all the fine people that we've worked with over the years, they were the best implantologists in town. We didn't need them to do periodontal abatement surgery. I mean, people that have advanced periodontal disease, you know, there's going to be different answers for them as far as achieving their goals. And holding on to each tooth as it goes away, slowly but surely, is not an answer. It's not a solution.
You're listening to Health Lifelines, a podcast brought to you by The Lifeguard Approach, your trusted source for insights, solutions, and training that empower you to become a lifeguard for your patients' health and well-being. This episode is just a taste of the strategies and stories we will share to help you and your patients live longer, healthier lives. If you're enjoying the content, make sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. As a reminder, this podcast and the opinions expressed here are not a medical diagnosis. And don't forget to explore our additional resources, tools, exclusive content, courses, and coaching solutions from The Lifeguard Approach by visiting our website at thelifeguardapproach.com. And now let's jump back into today's episode. And, you know, going back to that profit and pay conundrum that we have in dentistry, I knew very early on within the first week what your philosophy was with that and the culture of the practice with that. And you took me to lunch the very first week that I worked there. Do you remember what you challenged me with?
Yeah, I said, we need our patients to be healthy, and I need you to be the leader of their health. And you can have whatever coaching or help or continuing education or supplies
technology.
Or equipment, whatever you need to get that done.
Yes. And I took that as you didn't come right out and say it, but you helped me come to that conclusion on my own, which I think is much more powerful than just being told what you expected of me. And what I heard you were saying amidst all that was you wanted me to paint a much larger canvas of who I could be for our patients. And that really made a huge impact on me and set me in a new direction and destination of a place I'd never been before.
Well, about who you could be for your patients, you know, and
exactly.
That you could have all the support you needed and to get people healthy, because dentistry has been upside down. People have been doing bloody prophies and chat and polish hygiene practices for decades. This is nothing new. This friction between hygienists and dentists. This is a, it's a really uncomfortable place, because really, we should be united behind getting our patients well and having them be happy in their wellness. I mean, I'll let you talk at some time, maybe in one of your own podcasts about wellness-based hygiene, and being an advocate for wellness for your patient extends way the heck beyond calculus and pocket depth. I mean, it's a profoundly impactful role in their lives, and you had a giant impact on people's lives as far as accepting their role as their wellness, their own personal wellness advocate. And you know, the gateway was outstanding oral health. And we had so many patients that had transitioned from chronic periodontal disease, case type one or two. It just not enough to warrant surgery back in the day, because I'm old enough to remember all that stupid stuff. But to guide them away from that, from something that you coined the danger zone, because that's where they were. They were just hanging out next to the edge, you know, walking a tightrope next to the pool. Sooner or later you fall in, and now you're in trouble, and you got issues, and it's not good. And you just guided them into the wellness place, and they stayed there for perpetually. I mean, you know, a discussion of the percentage of procedures done by hygiene, since we know statistically that 8 out of 10 people have some form of periodontal disease, how come only less than 10% of all disease, all procedures performed by hygienists and dental offices are periodontal coated? For fear to tell people what's really going on with their teeth, and have permission to be as honest with them. Once you've asked them, what do they want? I want to be healthy. I want to keep my teeth. And say, oh, well, then we need to, here's how we do that.
It was so easy and really very joyful. It was just being able to help people. And I think the big overall picture was people aren't used to asking for help. Patients aren't. They just come in and they say, well, I'll do whatever he tells me to do, or I'll won't
Yeah,
take,
for a couple of days.
And my role really turned into being, I was teaching them how to advocate for themselves, how to speak up and ask for what they wanted and ask for help to get that. So that was my big goal, is to be their advocate, to teach them
Well,
how to do that.
you enrolled them in a discussion that was an ongoing dialogue that they were and made the, they were the key to, not you. You were there to answer their questions. But let's break through to the real thing, that what happened. What really happened was that as you started treating people's periodontal disease because it was there, and moved them into a wellness place and kept them in, you know, the 4910s and the other codes. Not that I remember a lot of that, because I'm the artist formerly known as a dentist. So I don't live in that world anymore. But what happened to your production?
Oh my gosh, it skyrocketed. And what
And
happened
so,
to your production too?
well, yes, absolutely. But the point I wanted to have people understand, since we're on this as a hygiene oriented discussion, is that you know, not a lot has changed. I mean, I practiced for 42 crazy years, okay? And I've been out a few years now, and the facts are still the same. Hygienists deserve a third of what they produce. I'm sorry, it's just the math. You can be up and down a few percentage points, but once you get out of whack with that, everything gets out of whack for the office or the hygienist. And if something's not fair to both, it's not fair to anyone, and then it doesn't work out. And there's a lot of weeping and gnashing and upset and all that sort of thing. And so as your production rose, what did I tell you?
It's time for a raise.
Time for more money. You earned every bit of it. And you know, and you came to me. I remember you coming to me and saying, you know, I want to get this, I think it was the Florida Probe. I think you wanted to get Florida
Yes, it
Probe.
was.
And you go, okay, I want the Florida Probe. And I go, well, I thought you were coming to me for a raise, and so you definitely deserve a raise. So which one do you want? You want the Florida Probe, or you want a raise?
And I said,
Okay.
I want the Florida probe. And you said, good
You
answer.
what you what did you get?
I got both. Got a
And
Florida probe and a raise. Yeah.
when the collaboration of patient first, team second, self third, always improves the self way more than it's going to be when you're selfish.
Yep.
And selfish just means out for yourself. It's not a bad thing. It just you should advocate for yourself. But you came to me with facts and figures.
Yes, and
You
my
didn't come to
favorite.
me. I've been here for 6 extra months and no one's given me a raise yet. So
Yeah, well, you told me,
you
when you hired me, you had not an ounce of belief in cost of living raises. So I knew that was out. So what I had to do was I figured I needed to increase my value to you in what patients chose for themselves. And that was my favorite thing to do with you, was to come to you and say, not look what I have done, but look what my patients have chosen for themselves this month. Whole different
Well, yeah,
start.
it is. And the number stood up. When you stand up and do the right thing for your patients, the productivity, let's just call it that, it shows itself to be what it is.
Yes.
And that was
Yeah.
undeniable. We knew it was in front of us and we were both happy. I mean, I don't know, you want to get into it. I remember when you asked for a salary, you wanted to be paid the same every month. I go, wait a minute, you're a producer. You decide to get a part of your production. You go, no. Everybody else here is on a salary. I want to be on a salary. And so we figured out a salary that works for you and for me.
And it
And
worked very
it
well
was a
for
pretty
me.
damn good salary.
It was,
But
yeah.
I mean, that's the real fun, is to have met your patient's needs, exceeded your patient's needs
Yep.
and wants. And have that relationship-based practice that you had with your patients, and to have that much fun doing what we're doing because we know we're helping our patients, made our lives simple and easy and straightforward and non-adversarial. And I would hope and wish that on everyone that they could get to that place where they're producing. And it's not just I took 6 bite wings instead of 4, and so I've produced, whatever, this much more, and we do an exam on everyone and fluoride, and we do we probe everyone, and we all charge them a la carte, which is nutso, in my mind. That just do what the patient needs, charge a fair fee, and we charge a fair fee for our
Yes,
procedures.
you
And
did.
since we weren't working with insurance companies, we had no assignment of benefits with insurance, so we could charge whatever we wanted, which means people had to pay. Yeah, they got reimbursed. Yeah, we submitted their insurance for them. Yeah, they got repaid, but they chose to come to us because of what they had learned when they came to the office, and they knew they were in the right place, and they were happy and happy to pay. You tell everybody what you trained your patients to do when they walked in the door.
Well, a lot of them just handed me a credit card. And, but
See,
you
let's get
know,
the, I remember you saying, let's just get the paperwork out of the way first, and then when we're finished with our care today, you can just jet out of Dodge.
yeah. So,
It was
what?
a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and when you focus your care on the most important person is your patient, and have them guide you through the decisions, you get an opportunity to do outstanding care, be paid well for it, and patients gladly, happily pay for it. Yeah,
We
we
had
did,
some patients, a few patients that were on welfare that valued what we did so much that they raised the money from family, friends, wherever, because they were
Well, no,
about
we
to
but
determine.
we played ball with them too, and that was fine. We
Yeah.
were delighted to do it, and so that's the real joy of the whole thing, is being able to meet people where they're at. And especially when people want what you have, and you can tell that they value that, you figure out a way to help them make that work.
Well, Dr. McKay, thank you so much for joining me here today on Health Lifelines podcast. And I just encourage all of you to really listen and take advantage and create a way to help your patients get healthy. And the best part about all this, and the most important thing to us in our practice, was saving lives. That was the big goal. So
The
thank
lifeguard
you.
approach.
Yep. Thank you so much,
It's
Dr. McKay. I appreciate
been
it.
my pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care.
That's it for today's episode of Health Lifelines, brought to you by the Lifeguard Approach. I hope you found inspiration and actionable insights to support you and your patients' journeys towards better health and more fulfilling lives. Remember, every small step you take today builds the foundation for a healthier tomorrow. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast with someone who could benefit from it. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow this community of health-conscious individuals and dental professionals focused on becoming lifeguards for their patients. For more tips, tools, and resources from the Lifeguard Approach, visit us online at thelifeguardapproach.com. Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn at The Lifeguard Approach. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay informed, stay inspired, and keep showing up as a lifeguard for your patients at every single appointment.